This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
No, it is not over with the market slide. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. After the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 1,190 points yesterday, 4.4%, U.S. stock index futures are pointing to a lower opening for U.S. stocks today. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.7% range. The key index in London is down 2.8%. Frankfurt's down 3% as we get into the final trading day of what is shaping up to be a week with the biggest losses since the 2008 financial mess. As the world adjusts to this coronavirus, let's consult Kenneth Rogoff, who teaches economics at Harvard and is the former chief economist at the International Monetary Fund.
Well, I'm not sure it's going to be like the 2008 meltdown, except maybe for China, which is slowing down the most dramatically and has the most heavy borrowing and debt. But it certainly could be a bad recession and a global recession. What's a little different about it is that it's not just a shock to demand, it's a shock to supply. We depend on China, global supply chains. And in that sense, a little bit more even like the 1974 oil shock, if anyone can remember that.
Yeah, and that was not a month of badness. That was an enduring thing that shaped the economy.
No, that's right. I don't think we'll necessarily just, take aspirin and feel better in the morning as far as the economy goes, precisely because it's going to hit global supply chains. There are going to be lasting issues coming out of our relationships with China, countries' willingness to accept people across borders, new protocols. It's hard to know.
Now, in 2008, markets were breaking down. In this case, so far, here on Friday, do you see markets working, doing what they're supposed to do, price in risk and matching buyers and sellers?
I do. It's an extraordinarily quick drop. It hasn't fallen nearly as far as in 2008. But I think you're right. If you look at the bond markets, they're not freezing up yet. The markets are functioning. The Federal Reserve doesn't yet have to step in just to make markets work. It might have to cut interest rates.
You might have to cut interest rates. I mean, interest rates are already low, 2% for the Fed funds rate. Do the policymakers at the Fed have enough ammunition left to fight this if it becomes bigger?
The short answer is no. They'll do what they can. We've been worried about this. If there's another recession, the U.S., for example, already has a $1 trillion deficit, and we'll have to make it much bigger. The Federal Reserve already has interest rates very low. So we've been sitting vulnerable for another recession. Maybe the U.S. won't have a recession. That's not baked in a cake. I think for the world, however, it will be. If it hits China, it's certainly hitting Europe. I'm talking about the economics. I think the virus will be worldwide.
Harvard economist Kenneth Rogoff, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And it's a turbulent time when the fellow on the radio mentions the VIX index of stock market volatility. It was up 50% yesterday at 41. On a boring market day, we'll see it at, say, 14 or so. Now, we get an official reading on U.S. consumer spending today. This will cover January, the month when the coronavirus headlines started coming. Here's Marketplace's Andy Euler.
Consumer spending makes up about 70% of the U.S. economy, so any disruption would have dire effects on growth. But Jack Kleinhens, chief economist of the National Retail Federation, says consumers are still in a good place right now.
Consumers have healthy balance sheets.
He says Americans are saving at almost 8%, up from 6% in 2009. And when people save, they may also be spending.
Their income has exceeded their consumption in the last few quarters, which leaves a net benefit of saving.
He says low interest rates are also driving people to buy homes and refinance their mortgages. But January's report may not reflect consumer spending in the wake of COVID-19, which Matthew Lazzetti at Deutsche Bank says is the real wild card right now.
With a pretty resilient labor market, you would think that the consumer outlook remains sturdy, except for these, I think, worries about the impact of the coronavirus.
He says spending on things like eating out, concerts, live sporting events, and other entertainment could be the first to suffer, even without a broad outbreak in the United States. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The stock index tied to many an investment portfolio these days is the S&P 500, which is down 10.8% this week so far. The typical gain for stocks over the long term is about 7% a year, so that is significant, but that's in the context of a very long bull run. And as for the 1,100-point drop for the Dow yesterday, it is not, as you may have seen reported elsewhere, the worst day ever for the market. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams is watching this closely and joins us now. We're talking 4.4% for the Dow. Right, Kimberly?
Right. And that percent is probably a more important measure than the points. You can say that the point drop is the biggest in the history of the Dow, but the Dow is also higher than it's ever been. So any sizable swing in either direction is going to have a big number attached. So for comparison, the Dow's close yesterday at 25,766 points basically takes us back around to where it was last summer, late spring. But it's still spooking markets because it was the worst day for the Dow since February of 2018. And what happened yesterday is considered a market correction, which basically means it was down more than 10% from a recent high.
All right. And there are the other indexes. The NASDAQ and the S&P saw their biggest one-day losses yesterday since 2011. And that is keeping the percent in mind rather than just the points.
And again, it's the speed of that fall that has the markets worried because there are just so many unknowns about how COVID-19 will affect the global economy right now. And that's spooking investors, especially those who aren't comfortable with big swings like this.
All right. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams. Thank you very much. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producers are Miguel Contreras and Alex Schroeder. Our engineer is Brian Allison. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.